He's whiny.
Yeah, like he sounds like such a bitch. You can go and look at any given wallet on Solana and you will find like 87 instances per day where you're just like, what the fuck were you doing? You absolute fucktard, man. Like, this is insane, right? Like, you'll find somebody like entering and exiting the same exact position to wind up with like 25% of their starting capital because they can't stop buying and selling like 25 times per hour. You're just like, yes. Dude, what the?
You whittled yourself like, down to fucking zero.
Yeah, like I have never been more confused than I when I've just like looked through random wallets that I found on Solana. I'm wondering, like, is this genuinely like some wash trading strategy or like their tax loss heart? Because nothing else. But it's like people don't even do that. Like, that's like a weird normie cope thing that they say, like, when you tell them about like some NFT being sold for like $500,000, like, oh, that's wash trading. It's like, no, like, I wish it was, but that's actually not watch. Like, that's actually a totally legitimate and real sale. Like, that Pudgy Penguin did actually just sell for $500,000. And I can't explain to you why that's true. Do you ever have those conversations? With,
oh,
like,
I have that conversation all the time.
Where they say, oh, well, this is like obviously wash trading. And you're like, I can't even explain to you why you're wrong because you're incapable of conceptualizing people retarded enough that it would like make the model line up in your head, but like you are wrong.
I assure you, those are real. That is a real trade. I'm like this is like. It's just the problem is that like you can kind of explain it with the fine art market where like people can go, but the thing is, art has like a social amount of capital that people think, oh, I'm just not smart enough to understand the art. The right.
Like, yeah. People aren't, they're not capable of the same suspended disbelief with the fucking like monkey pictures.
Yeah. And like, no, this is the exact same thing as if you were watching someone buy the Campbell's can from Homeboy from Warhol. Andy Warhol. Yeah. Right. Like the person who bought the Campbell's can in 1980, whatever, or 70 or whatever, everyone looked at them like a fucking idiot. But they were like, maybe I'm just not smart enough to get it. So either they're a genius or they're absolute fucking moron. Now we all can kind of see we're getting a monkey picture. And there's still the slight, you know, the voice in the back of your head that says, maybe I'm the idiot because he is going to make a lot of money on that purchase. Or maybe sometimes they do. Most times they don't. Right. Maybe I'm the idiot. Maybe he bought that. You know, he bought a fucking wigger monkey on Bitcoin and he's, you know, and it actually is the future of art. But
they were, by the way, dropping my 401k into Bitcoin puppets has been the single funniest and most profitable public trade I've ever made in my entire fucking life, man.
Oh yeah, no, they're the future of technology and art, right? So then, you know, so then, but most of the time, 99.9% of the time in this NFT market, they're actually just literally just a picture of a monkey. But you know, if you're rich enough, you're willing to play the bet, right? When $500,000 doesn't matter to you, like if you have like I don't know, if I have $50 million, $500,000 doesn't matter. If you have like $250 million, you know, you're some tech founder. You're willing to make the $500,000 bet for the potential of whatever in the future.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to lose it, but it's not like as big a deal to you. And that's who's appealing
Solana
to
right now is like the shit is so cheap and it's such like a, you know, like my brain doesn't even, my brain doesn't recognize that I have money on Solana yet. Right. So it's not like I can lose any money because it's zero. It's mentally zero to me. So I'm like, I'm using this to, for the first time in my life, just do like angel investing tier. Like I'm fine if it goes to fucking zero shit. Right.
Yeah. But you got to also consider who it's marketed to as audience. It's marketed to the fucking tech bro wearing the graphic t-shirt at 45. You know what I'm saying? The guy who has a picture of a, like, you can see him show up to work in a picture of a monkey on his shirt. That's the same guy buying the $500,000 monkey.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense when you consider the aesthetics of the buyer, you know, but alas, I'm not going to have a monkey. I'm never going to be able to afford Bored Apes, maybe like 3 weeks I can afford one. way that they're doing, the way they're
going. Bored Apes are, I got to say, man, go for it.
Before you do it, remember Crypto Crooks? He has a company that I wish I could remember the name of. I'm really sorry. I'm trying to give you a plug.
Fractional Uprising Studios.
No, he has a new thing.
Oh.
But it's related. It's Fractional Uprising partnered with Senko, and they have a new thing, but I can't remember the name of it. It's like Open something, and I feel bad. But they made a sweater, and the sweater they were all wearing at East Denver was like an Evangelion-based one. It was really cool. And I was like, oh, I want one of those. He's like, I ran out. He's like, however, check this one out. And it's a Bored Ape and a M'lady, whatever one. And like, no one on his team liked it. He's like, I'll send it to you. So you get the concept one. So I have,
that's epic.
I am getting a cool little, anyway, but continue. Sorry.
Well, it's just funny that like everybody said, this Bored Ape, like these things are hideous. They're going to fucking zero. And a large portion of the market was like, no, this is the future of finance. And, this is when we were all starting, like you and me, we were sitting here like, are we delusional? Like, are we delusional for thinking this is going to go to zero? Because like, it looks really bad. Like they look, and they're really annoying people. Like the people who buy, like bad. I'm sure there's nice people who buy them out there, but like truly out of all of the communities of like weird NFT, like NFT communities are not renowned for being like groups of people that I would say like, yeah, these are like upstanding citizens and individuals that I like think highly of. But like specifically Bored Apes were bad.
The worst. Yeah.
They were really embarrassing people generally. And again, I'm sure not all Bored Apes.
Not all.
I mean, but
with Trump voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And now we're just seeing like, no, we were totally fucking right. And it just took 3 years for it to pan out. But this shit is going to fucking zero, cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Like straight to zero. Like it's just unrelentingly going down. And every week, like, we're starting to see them actually panic now. Like these people are actually.
Panicking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're like, oh, like we didn't ever factor in that this wasn't like a stable store of value
for every they thought it was gonna be like going up every single wave.
You can find people who are down, they're down like $20 million underwater in their Bored Ape wallets. Have like, they've purchased like 150 of these things
and now they're getting wrecked, and now you're in too deep now, right? So now you have gambler's fallacy, so now they're not gonna sell them. And they're just going to ride them down to zero. And that's also the other thing. That was the other reason why it always seemed to me like they were going to go to zero, is because like none of them are willing to sell. Like that guy was offered like a super expensive car. I can't remember which one it was for his Bored Ape. And he's like, no. And that was the Pico top.
Well, that was the reason that they went up in the first place, is because you had an entire holder base of people who just said like, I refuse to sell. And it's like, okay, well, I guess your price is going to stay high then, right? But then like the bear market comes and like gradually like your mortgages get foreclosed on and you need some assets, you need some money, right? So some people have to start selling their monkey pictures, and they're realizing that like, okay, well, now that I'm the first person who wants to sell this monkey picture in the last 2 months, I'm trying to find a buyer, right? And it appears the buyers are willing to buy much lower than when I purchased, right?
Strange. And,
but the price doesn't tank, because after they sell that one, someone buys it, and the floor largely looks exactly like it did before, right? Mm. And people aren't really going and checking super hard through like the price history for this stuff. So it's taken a long time for it to get dragged down. But now there's just a broad understanding of like, oh, the floor has fallen out and
none of us want this anyway.
Like, yeah. Come with any benefits. Everybody makes fun of you for having them.
And like the allure that it had last cycle is gone. So like this is like the Crypto Cats thing that happened, or Crypto Kitties that happened the first wave. They did get expensive again the second time, but I just don't feel like Bored Apes is going to ever get expensive again. Like maybe,
I will say if they fall under one ETH, I'm buying a Bored Ape, and I'm going to have at least one day where I have an NFT verified Twitter profile picture with a Bored Ape.
Yeah, no, if they get that low, I would buy one just on it'll be like the Penguins, because the Penguins got like super low and then they came back. So,
bro, did you know that fucking 3AC, they had like 100 Pungy Penguins in their treasury? And
oh, really?
the liquidator floored all of them at like the actual bottom.
Oh no.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So the creditors literally would have like made it all back on Pudgy Penguins because they went up to like $250,000.
Yeah, they're like, I think that right now they're like fucking pretty high. They're like at least 10. Maybe higher. Did they pass apes or 13 right now? I just looked. Let's see.
Pudgy definitely passed apes.
They're 11 right now. Right now they're 11 floor.
Oh really? Fuck.
Oh no, I'm wrong. Sorry. No, they're 13.5 floor. So they're equal to apes.
Okay.
But they're equal to the board apes, not the mutants. Like the mutants are basically fucking
they're zero.
Dead already. So like Pudgy Penguin. Oh, actually, this just made me hurt because I just thought about something. So when Pudgy Penguins came out, they were like not popular for a while, right? And there's the one time, and like some e-girl, she told me to buy them, and that's when I bought the Pixel Cats instead. And I bought 5 Pixel Cats for about 0.2 each, and Pudgy Penguins were about 0.2 at the time. So I faded generational wealth because I decided Pixel Cats were better than the Pudgy Penguins. Because I was like,
this is a stupid shit about crypto overall, really, is that like the number of times that exact thing has happened. I've just started, like, I basically said, like, okay, this is such an RNG-based industry. Like, absolutely. Random shit can just happen all the time. I need to just develop a set of rules, and I'm going to stick by it. Like, I don't give a fuck if one time on one coin the thesis fails. I am going to have a fail or a thesis this entire cycle of basically just, like, counter-trading consensus, right? Like, I am going to invest exclusively in the most hated coins, right? So what position did I buy? Like, what did I go all in on after when we had that little sell-off from 75 down to like 60K or whatever? I all-in fucking Starkware.
Oh, I like Starkware.
Yeah. And it giga sent, dude. Mm. I all-in Starkware and WorldCoin. Like, World I just
Coin
went
is crazy,
with
I
the
do.
Most the most hated coins that I could find. And we seem to be paying off. And it's like the same thing with what am I doing?
Starkware has like actually good shit in there, though. That's like it's just that most people don't understand it. Starkware is like actually legit. From my research.
I don't know anything. I just looked at the chart and I said, this is bottomed as fuck. Like, I looked at it and I said, like, nobody can sell more of this. Like, they're trying to dump, and like Bitcoin just dumped an additional 8K. Starkware can't even go down more because they flat out ran out of sellers. Like, there's nobody left. Like, it's reached
out of tokens, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's literally like, and that's really the only thing that I look for anymore is when we have big sell-offs, I just go through every chart. I don't give a fuck what the coin is. I just flip through every single chart and I say, like, what has gotten to the point of like maximum despair such that like it's literally impossible for the price to move down more than another like 5%, right? We're at rock bottom. It's essentially a stable coin at the worst right now.
Yeah, that's a good rule. I need to have my rules again because I got too lost in the sauce on this pump fund shit. You have to remove all logic and reason from your brain to succeed on this site. So, you know, I'm like, okay, is this meme funny? What's the meta for today? Because also the meta changes every day. We had like,
you went from
slur
like
metas.
You went, yeah, from like racist stuff to like anti-Semitic coins to like,
then the next day was things that were like anti-racism. So it was like, give peace a chance, ADL, anti-racism coins were good.
This is the other crazy thing about Solana. Like, it's not just the market cycles that move quickly. It's not just like the coin price that moves quickly because of the liquidity ratios. It's like the metas move quickly. You'll have like a 6-hour meta.
Yeah. I started a meta for a while there. Everyone was making fee coins. Because I was the first coin other than Pussy and Bio to get into the bonding curve like hella fast. So like Pussy and Bio did it, and then the same day I made the Sniff coin, I got King of the Hill and went bonding curve in like 10 minutes. So for about 6 hours or so, everyone tried feed coins and none of them succeeded because they didn't realize I had like the Twitter advantage. But
god, man. Yeah, it's too fast. It's too twitchy. Like, I'm an old man. I'm gonna stick to my perps, dex shit. And the other thing is, like, I can actually like make money off of it because on Solana, I can't like, it's like, obviously, yeah, if you toss money in there and it goes up a bajillion dollars, you have like world changing money. But I can't just like, I can't just say I'm going to buy this and sell it when it goes up 20% and like make a good amount of money, right? Like I can't just do perp shit. I can't just say I'm going to put 850K in this. I'm going to sell at this point and I'm relatively safe and certain it's not going down more, right? Like I cannot fucking do that on Solana. There's no point where I can just like drop size into it, feel comfortable, go to bed, wake up, see my sell order has hit 4 days later and be like, we're fine.
I miss perps. I'm annoyed that they took all the good sites, but now I learned a new one, allegedly. I was better at perps than I am at shitcoining, but I was good at NFTs and perps because I learned how to trade on perps. That's predominantly why. And I never understood how to do shitcoining until like recently.
Shitcoining is really, really weird because like all of the charts and stuff like that, like it does work. And they respect like the levels really, really hard because that's the only thing about them that anybody is looking at, right? Like there's no like market news surrounding Sniffcoin that's going to like impact the price. It's literally just what is the chart? What is going on in the chart?
Yeah.
And like
you can affect them with announcements and this and that and memes, I guess, but like predominantly
you can make them go up like 80 bajillion times and you can make them go to zero. But like if they don't do one of those two things, they just go to the next level.
Yeah, they're very like it's fake and gay. But money can be made even if something is fake. That is what you learn, and then consequently you learn.
I mean, that's what crypto is as an industry. Yeah. Truly,
you learn much about life that way. It turns out that most things are just facades, and you can still they're all facades that you try to make money through via. You know, that's what I've learned at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like I like sitting in my happy little perp shit.
You have restraint. See, I don't have restraint with perps. That's the other thing. So like I'll be doing really well. And then I'm like, I'm doing so fucking well. Let's up the levers to 100.
Well, no, that's actually exactly that's how I blew my asshole out was because I had been very respectfully keeping everything at like 2x leverage as we went up. And then after we broke ATH, I jacked my shit up to like 5.something x.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, right when we went down. It's like that's like the retard meme. Like that's what everybody says, like, don't do. They say very specifically, like, you want to have if you're going to be like risky, you should be risky when the trend changes and then you should scale out as you get confirmation, because that's when everybody else is scaling in like
that's
a retard. Right. Yeah. So that was like exactly what I did. And then I wound up like buying the fuck out of like the last Ethereum dip before the big dip, and I was like, oh yeah, like every other time I bought the dip, like it was fine, like I'll just giga size buy this dip, who fucking cares. Ooh. And so I was clipping like fucking like 80 Ethereum buys in as it was dropping like 2%, and then it dropped much more than 2%, and I was like, okay, I could have avoided that. Like I could have avoided losing that money. That was a very easy. So now we went down at a certain point that it like it activated my like fight or flight response to shit, and I was forced to like actually learn how to trade. And this was when I busted out all of the OG like trading rules. Like, okay, just cut your fucking losers. They're not coming back. Instantly cut them. Put everything into your strong horses. If you want, fucking short the losers, maybe. And for the first time in my life, I actually did just like close shit out instantly and accept the losses and try to work with shit. And it actually worked way fucking better than if I had just went down, held, and then gone up again. Like we wound up making it all back within the first like 20% of the recovery, as opposed to needing it to be back at 75K to be recovered.
I've found cutting losers at least saves you like, cause again, you don't want to, I swear by cutting losers personally.
I mean, fuck, I shorted Bitcoin, bro. Like when we were sitting on that 65K level, I was like, dude, it's not looking too fucking good if we break this. Like there's nothing down there till like 62. And then it started going down, and the instant that it broke by like $500 and it didn't bounce, I was like, oh shit. And jeez, I just dumped a massive like 4x Bitcoin sell right on that candle. And then it went down, and I closed it out at 62, and then it kept going. it kept going to like 61 or like 60 and a half or something. So and I was like, holy shit, I could have made so much more money on that. But
that's the trap. This is what I was told this, and I didn't learn this until life experience. But like, you always think about grabbing it at the bottom, taking it to the top, but it's
if you're lucky, if you can catch 50% of a move.
Yeah, yeah. That's where the wins are. When you try to catch the whole thing, that's when you get wrecked. It's just I have to remember that and tell myself that all the time.
I was really impressed with myself for shorting Bitcoin and not blowing my shit out.
Yeah.
Feel bad because that was still at the point where like people hadn't accepted that like we were experiencing a dip, right? So like everyone was like, no, dude, I think we're going up. And I was like,
it went up fucking vertical for three, like it went up like,
yeah, I was like, I don't think so, man. Like I was in your position when we dipped from like 74 to like 70 to 69. I no longer think we're in up only mode, brother. I'm going to be changing my bias. Only,
but on the macro, you know, you can't just go vertical like that forever. Yeah. So there is always there's a correction, reversion to the mean.
Yeah.
Reversion to the mean.
I am very lucky that I just had that closeout at 62 and I just like walked away from it and it all worked out fine. Mm-hmm. Like just like I slept through it and it hit and I woke up and I said, oh, okay. It like I'm safe. We did safe. It. I shorted Bitcoin in a bull market.
And we made it. Steel. We made it out the other side, though. That's good. That's powerful.
I shorted Solana, too, actually.
That is a little... Well, actually, no. That one I get...
I shorted... Good. Solana looked fried as shit, man. Solana looked like... And this was the other thing. Like, I was saying... and again, like, it's I'm like a retard. Right? I'm a retard, so everybody fucking ignored me. But I was saying, like...
You're the loss leader.
Yeah, I was saying like, dude, fucking Solana looked not that great for this last little bit. And like it was already riding on the fumes of everyone where, you know, when everybody in crypto Twitter FOMOs into one coin because everything else is going down, it buys you about 3 days of up only in that coin. But after those 3 days, you better fucking watch your shit, man, because it will go to zero. And it will drop off really, really hard because like then you have everybody in crypto Twitter jeeting it. Mm. And like the crypto Twitter, these guys have like insane PTSD from going to zero 87 times. So like when they decide they're going to cut their bags, they're going to cut so fucking fast, man.
Mm-hmm. Then it's the dildo of death.
Yeah.
So we don't need that.
So I didn't know where Solana was going to go to with that one, but I made the fairly safe bet that it was going to go down. And that was around, I want to say that was around 200 is when like that David Gills guy on Twitter. Yeah,
and then
Twitter,
went down to like 165 or something like that. So that was a good short too.
I basically caught the move when, it was just if you look at that 4 hour candle, the one that's just fucking massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't hold the Solana one for too long because the funding was not high enough that I cared.
It's also just scary coin because, again, it has very big swings.
Yeah. Everything about Solana is like it could really do anything. Oh, dude, did you see? So fucking Kyle and Sue are doing their Copy Vault competition also. Uh-huh. For those of you who don't know, Kyle and Sue, they are the guys who ran Three Arrows Capital, which was that like $12 billion hedge fund or something that was like the main crypto hedge fund that exploded. Many people attributed it to the start of the crypto bear market, global collapse, bankruptcy of every cryptocurrency institution. I might take some personal issue with that. But again, they're my coworkers. So... that's to be expected, right? I am a paid shill and I would never say anything bad about them. But they are doing a trading competition on the exchange also. And it was extremely funny because like they got caught in the same shit that I did where like we all went in and when they had to open their vaults, they did so with it like market was up only. And so, of course, Suzu, who is like the renowned he's like the renowned bull poster, right? Like he made an entire brand off of like, this shit is going up only forever. Like he coined the super cycle. Like he said, oh, crypto cycles, yeah. Like this thing that it's done ever since its inception, it's not doing that anymore. It's fucking only going up from now on, bitches. The way that he got his fund liquidated was because he ran a hedge fund that had zero hedges, zero yeah, short dude. Positions. He was only long. That's every so single one of his bets was we're going up, motherfucker. So he opens his vault at the very pico top of this last leg and he goes like fucking like 6x long on everything and instantly is down like 11 million. So of course the screenshots from that one were fucking hilarious passing around, right? Because it was just like I could not have asked for better marketing material if you had asked me to like think about it for 62 hours, right? It was so yeah. fucking perfect.
Suzu getting
he did not get liquid and this is the other
you won't so, get liquidated. He has a lot of money.
Well, the money that he's trading with is not his. Because the way that this is set up with,
that's even more perfect.
It's copy vaults, right? So like if people think Kyle's going to win, they deposited money to Kyle's vault. If they think Sue's going to win, they deposited money to Sue's vault.
So it's 3 hours capital, but with the people on the exchange.
Right.
He's not trading his money either.
Yeah. So all these people who deposited their money are like, so he's down like, I think he actually was down like fucking like 50% or something. Like it was a very impressive number. But then the funniest thing is like, he's back now. He's up like 14 million.
That's like how it works. That's why
he fucking ran it. Yeah, yeah. And everybody was like shitting on him. Oh, you like fucking retard.
That's why you're poor and he's Suzu.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You just fucking send that shit.
People need to understand, man. I've seen so many people ask, like, dude, so like, who are the main characters of this cycle? It's all the same ones. It's the same fucking ones from 2020. Everything, it's all going to be the same people. Do Kwon is out of jail. Suzu and Kyle Davies are running it back up again. Fucking SBF is going to get a pardon by Biden. He's going to come out. I don't know what the fuck he's going to do, but like,
he's going to run it back turbo and be even richer.
Yeah. I know that. I don't know what to say, man. Like there are, you're given a handful of these sort of like generational monetary printer people. And it's like, yeah, they're going to blow the shit up. Like at some point they're going to blow the shit up, but it's crypto, dude. Everything is blowing up. It doesn't matter who started it. None of this shit is going to last. It's just a matter of how high can we run this bitch up before we blow it up, man.
Exactly. It's all a high score, bro. It's a video game.
It is absolutely a video game. And like,
you're just trying to get the high score and then to get the clout from it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like people worrying about like, oh, like, well, but like the thing with Luna is like, it's like what happens when the death spire? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, man. That's every protocol. What happens when the fucking Bitcoin printers shut off, right? Like what happens when the people stop mining the transactions? What happens when the GPU farming, because like, all of this stuff has some tail end failure mechanism.
I worry about the music stopping when the shit stops. Right now, I'm boogieing.
Yeah,
right now I'm running the shit turbo.
Exactly, you know? Man. You've got to basically pick that's, enough of
you're
these.
You're poor
things.
In spirit. You're poor in spirit, and that's why you're broke. That's why you get your fucking shit together. Think about the bag and the limitless bag. That's what you need to be worried about.
Yeah. Worrying about the downside risk in crypto is like, I don't know, dude.
You're not going to fucking make it.
It's going to zero. That's all you have to know. Like, it's going to zero at some point. Everything I've ever worked on, everything I've ever created in this industry is going to zero. I don't know when it's going to zero, and I hope that it's going to be long enough that all of you make money. I can't guarantee it, and I wouldn't make an investment decision based on that.
But in the meanwhile, you know, if we can get generational wealth before it goes to zero, it's musical chairs, really.
Yeah.
Well, before it all goes to zero, can you make it out with the bag? And that is the game you're playing.
I know this group chat that I was in. There was one guy, one very principled, rational investor, State Layer. And he said, Luna's a scam Ponzi. It's going to fucking zero. This shit doesn't work. Everybody else was like, no, dude, like I think an algorithmic stable coin, blah, they basically bought everything completely. I did also. I'm not shitting on them. I would invest in Luna again if it happened, even knowing that it blew up like
I'd
this.
I'd do it twice as fast with more
literally,
size.
Literally, yes. I would buy that shit faster, man.
She went from zero to 100 bill in like a year.
It was so fucking, it was one of the greatest Ponzi schemes of all time. And all these guys who said, no, like, I think it's going to work. I am a retard who believes blindly in this financial Ponzi scheme. They made way more fucking money.
Yeah.
All you had to do is take some out, right?
Do you want to be right or do you want to be rich? That's the thing. You could be right and it's a Ponzi. It's going to zero. That is correct. You are actually objectively and factually correct. But you could also realize it has to go up first before it goes back down. And you can ride that to infinity.
It's the same thing with the AI coins, bro.
Yep.
None of this shit makes any sense. This is all total vaporware. Every AI coin I've
seen.
The
airdrop is going to hit fucking like a ton of bricks. Where's my... I mean...
Yeah, Verse is going to be printing six figures off of this grass airdrop shit.
If it ever comes, if it ever shows up.
I guarantee you this is absolute total giga vapor. And
I'm selling it the first way. Like I'm not riding that one up. I'm selling it here's how airdrops work. It's gonna peak, it's gonna crash.
Yeah, you wait like 3 hours, then you sell, and then it dies, and then you buy,
and then you buy
like
it again, and
weeks,
then you
and
sell
then it
off
goes
on the,
up. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. I'm gonna run the playbook. We're gonna keep it by the book. I'm not gonna do any deviation. There's none of this, I'm gonna hold it for 2 years. Get the fuck out of my face. We're doing this classic airdrop status, and I'm hoping that it actually hits. Well, hopefully the airdrop happens soon, but I need it to happen after I get to my next tier. So I need like 2 more weeks, then we can do this airdrop.
Snapchat. Oh, they're not telling you when it is?
No, they know. They can't. Otherwise, it's
it's a breach of like securities law or something.
Yeah, but it's definitely coming, and I'm hoping after. I know it's coming soon because everyone I know who works at Grass is being very finicky about talking about Grass.
Oh. So
everyone I know who works there is like, I'm like, hey, so when's that airdrop coming? And they're like, so they know the date.
That means that they've had like 2 or 3 meetings per week, mm-hmm. Talking about how you actually cannot fucking talk about this or you will go to federal prison. Like you will go to Guantanamo Bay if you mention this.
Yes. But that also means they have a date because otherwise they wouldn't be having those meetings. So,
yep.
It's coming soon. That's all I know. And that's not insider trading. That's my psychological intuition. Because they won't tell me because they will actually go to prison. And I don't want them to go to prison.
That's the very funny thing is like crypto is an industry where basically people tell everyone everything. Just because like even if it's not super beneficial, people just like being known as the person who knows some things.
Yeah.
Because it will usually pay off. It breeds like a really disgusting type of person, actually, because mm-hmm. you wind up with these people who just like share everything willy-nilly. Like there are some people who I met, some people who you might know, actually, who have told a bunch of secrets of mine to just everyone that they've come into contact with ever. Because they thought, and they weren't even like financially relevant secrets. They were just like random personal details about my life that they would tell to people just to be seen as somebody who knows things about me or is close to me or something like that. And that's like the whole industry. And I'm not like an important person, right? So like saying, oh, like I have information on like Lucas. It's like, you know, like you're kind of selling out for nothing here, right? Like it doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'm just a bro, dude.
Yeah, like you're, I don't know. It's like reporting your fucking mailman to the U.S. government because he like showed up on, like he showed up late or he put your shit in the wrong mailbox and like didn't follow procedure or something. It really,
it's
kind of small peanut sellout shit.
But the thing that they will not tell you, and I've never had someone break this, is the airdrop date.
Exactly.
I think that one's that's like the one thing that will actually get you
in. Right, because they all SEC understand that like one. Their Telegram, in the same way that all of us understand this shit is going to zero at some point, we also understand that when it does go to zero, all of our Telegram chat logs are going to the fucking U.S. government. And they are going to be looking through all of these, and they're going to be assigning blame and finding out if there was any sort of financial misconduct, right? So like, you actually can't break the law.
Well, weird. Shocking.
Yeah. Like, well, it's like in a lot of other industries, you can get away with a lot of law breaking because it can be assumed that your
this one's company, very public. This is a very public industry.
Yeah, because it can be assumed that your company is going to last long enough that, like, you know, like in my old job, I was in and out, and like I felt a lot more comfortable saying shit that was just like flagrantly illegal over those company chat servers because like
the company will take the liability and
the company. Yeah. And there's not going to be any sort of like staff, a big class action thing that you're going to have to worry about. And the product is going to be fine. Like it's not going to blow up anyway. And like, even if it isn't, it's not hitting market for another like 12 years or some shit like that. Right. So it's like, it was just this big wall of things that all boiled out to like, who fucking cares, man? It's not a big deal. In crypto, it's like, no, there's a good chance that the federal government could be analyzing my chats in 4 months. Like, there's a very good chance.
Yes. You know, in the inevitable downward spiral, and when they get the AIs reading through all the chat logs and all the transaction logs and shit, they're going to put two and two together. So I'm going to not say the airdrop date.
Well, and they're doing this really weird thing now where if you have like disappearing messages on Telegram, they're saying that this is like a sign of guilt.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sus.
Right.
What if you just like delete? Well, you could just delete your logs every whatever amount of time on your own.
It's a pain in the ass, though, when you have like a company chat because.
Oh, for then, chat for companies. Right. Oh, yeah. You can't have disappearing messages. I think that actually might be an issue because like you can't do that. Like you can't. Like for I don't think you're allowed to do that in like normal contexts. I think like the whole like paper shredder thing is supposed to be like on the DL. Like it's not supposed to be like you're not supposed to actually shred documents. Like they just did it back then because there was no like internet and like, you know, if you get rid of the paper, everything's gone. But like if you delete shit internally, I think that's actually like SEC violation.
That's weird.
They were just able to get away with it because there was no like way to follow up with it.
See, like, my issue with it was actually that like, our creative process moves at a somewhat Solana based pace, right? So like our plans for like what new thing we're going to be doing with the exchange, they change and upgrade and iterate every like 2 days. So you wind up with a situation where you might have people getting tagged in shit from like 18 hours ago. That's now like, it's been completely obsoleted, right? Yeah. So when you're going through and rereading the chat logs, or you'll have like the lead dev who like doesn't always look at all of the chats and comes back, and it's just like they get overwhelmed with like all of these tags and messages that are just like they don't matter.
What's real?
Now.
What's not?
Yeah. I mean, they're real, but they're like they're about things that have been like totally solved and were like eight subjects down the line at this point. So I was like, can we just like not have him waste his time with this by like blowing
what you,
the
what
shit
you need
out?
Is a, what you need is a guy to write internal documentation. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah.
that's effectively what my job was for company to not be named. I would go through their shit and keep track of what's real.
Every startup, I think, hits that scaling problem where they're at the point of like, how the fuck do we coordinate this? You have to go as a company order. From like seven separate Telegram chats to like having actually established internal communication channels, and that jump is always like horrifying.
Yeah, you get your contract technical writer, and they make the canon documents. All this is to say, what was the original? Illegal. Airdrop, grass, AI coins. That's where we were. I had to like backtrace the log. AI coins. I think grass hopefully is a fat airdrop, but I'd be so like I think of the world where the grass airdrop is like bullshit. It's like fucking like it's like $25. I think of that world all the time because that is also a possibility.
Dude, but I think the Frentech airdrop is gonna like
it's gonna be fat, bro. And I actually am annoyed because I did not. I should have been doing the friend fucking the getting the points this whole time.
I should have been. I don't remember. Like, what did you have to do to farm even? Anyway, guys, for those of you who are unaware, Frentech was this like it was this crypto app where it was basically the first SocialFi app in existence. It had some issues in terms of its design. The main one being that it basically gave everyone a paid chat room that they could talk to their subscribers, etc. in. But it had this ungodly bonding curve. So like the first person who bought like an entry pass might buy it at like 1 cent. And then like after you had like 120 holders or something, it would literally cost like $10,000 to get in. And it would be like a 10% increase for like the next buy and the next. And it would just keep, and it became like exorbitantly expensive very quickly. The guy who made it is not a retard. And this is a very basic problem. So I assume that when he rolls out V2, that's going to be completely fixed. And it's actually going to be pretty good also, because he's been watching everything else. And he's like,
I mean, that was just to run it up. That was to run out the bag, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, the other crazy thing is like every buy and sell that you did on there, they got like, what was it? Like 5% of it.
Yeah, they got a really fat. They got a,
because it was like, I would get like 5% of every buy and sell of my little token thing. And the protocol itself, I think, would get an additional 5%. So like, and this thing did like, didn't it do over like a billion in volume?
Yeah, in volume for sure. It had like, I mean, it had a really fat volume. And I think it's coming back now that people know.
Yeah.
People are on base again.
And I think, I mean, the important thing basically is this dude built up like a multiple $100 million treasury. And he said, instead of giving the airdrop to like VCs and investors, he was going to give 100% of the airdrop to the community. So I'm pretty sure we're all going to get
via referrals.
Huh?
Because the points are on the invite page. It's on the invite page, but I don't have that many points. But I have, it's on this page.
How many do you have for the points?
Only like 1,000, like a little bit less than 1,000.
Because I have somewhere over 10,000, but I don't remember how many.
But you invited people, and I think the volume that they do adds to your points. I think it's like kind of pyramidy in that way.
I think I really should go and start spam pyramiding that again.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that I think I could. But anyway, all this is to say, I think the Frentech airdrop is going to be like actually fucking huge and fun. And it's going to print crypto Twitter, because like the only people who used crypto or who used Frentech were crypto Twitter, and the people who crypto Twitter like onboarded personally. So
it'll be fat. Listen, I try to get Justin Wang on it. If he hears this, bro, I try to get you in, and Brittany Venti too, but she gave it to somebody else.
I actually fucking told Radfem to join. She would have at least printed like 20 grand off of it, off of just fees.
She has a big enough account. But hey, whatever ETH I get, I'm excited. I think people are saying $10 per point. If that's asinine, if that's real.
Yeah, that's insane, man. If we get $10 per point, I'm fucking buying a house off of goddamn Frentech airdrop shit, man.
That's ridiculous. Even on my shitty ass amount, that's like a free 10K off of using the app. Like, I did not use that app that much.
Well, I made one for like the podcast account. I made one for like fucking Woman Lucas.
We have a podcast one.
Yeah, I exactly. And I onboarded a fair amount of OnlyFans girls. And I still have their, I think it still held most of their tokens on one of my burners. Mm. So
this can get real good real quickly. So I'm hoping that number is real.
If the $10 per point number is real, I will cut my ears off and eat them on live stream, man. Like that shit is so fucking insane. Like I will be screaming, man. This is crazy, dude. If that's real, Ansem is unironically going to be getting like an $8 million airdrop.
Oh yeah, yo, absolutely. His fucking dude. He's already fucking sitting pretty because
he's so insanely retired from like everything. Like he has like 10 bags that have gone to like generational retirement earning potential.
His Whiff bag alone is asinine. Like I don't even want to think about how much he made off that. But then.
Well, he was basically like 80% in Solana at like $20. Yeah. So he already had like what? Like a fucking 8x off of.
It's 10x. Well,
it's more than 10x. It's right back at like 190, isn't it?
I was buying back at
9.5x now.
Yeah. So that on that alone, and let alone the 10,000x on Whiff. So like ridiculous. But hey, some people got to take. He was chilling it from the entire bear market,
and
so.
That's not even counting the angel shit that he's gotten tossed.
The angel shit,
which is going to go. I'm not going to elaborate necessarily onto some of the positions that I know he's entered there, but
no, he's doing
gonna be
very,
very
well
nicely this. off of
he's
everything.
Doing very well this cycle, unbelievably well.
I do think though that the Frentech airdrop is actually going to set like kind of a new meta for things though, where I think the strategy is going to become less so these weird predatory floats that token release at, where they have like all the supply held up by VCs or in locks that just get dumped on people. I think more and more people are going to start going to like a 100% community based token distribution, and then they're just going to start giving early investors equity in the actual company. You know?
Yeah, I think that's the way to it should always. Well,
honestly. There's a reason that fucking TradFi does this. It makes more sense than like I'll issue you a token that you can dump on all of our users. That doesn't do, you know, because then you can actually have a token that like it serves its purpose within your ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. Like how the BNB token actually is used for like reduction of trading fees or shit like that within Binance without all of these like constant investor dumps that happen all the time. It really gets bad when you're trying to use an ecosystem and the coin that you need to hold to use that ecosystem gets randomly 80% negative candled by like some VC just like trash dumping you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
going to be a more pleasant experience for everyone.
For sure, for sure.
And Racer will be heralded as a generational genius and prodigy for ushering in the era of 100% community-driven airdrops. I would like to say I am a genius investor myself because I never fucking once said anything bad about Frentech or Racer while it had its period where everyone was shitting on it. Because again, genius investor, I might not have had $1 billion to put in the protocol, but I understood that if I ever said anything bad about Racer, karma was going to come and fuck me somehow.
I've never said anything bad about Racer. Racer, we love you on this podcast.
And we shilled Frentech like 80 billion times. Actually,
we shilled Frentech on the Anthem episode. We shilled it early. We were fucking talking about Frentech before we even knew Frentech existed, because we were like, oh, we should be able to long and short accounts. No, we were early on that shit, even though I was not, because I got stuck in I couldn't get it to work.
We talked about how our intern made like an instant daily 40K off of he ran like fucking $200 to 40K. And like, and that doesn't even sound impressive now, but this was in the bear market. Okay. What you need to understand. Like $200 to 40K is like whatever in like Solana meta days, but like doing that in the bear market, you have to understand that like money was not just sitting on the floor, man. Like it was fucking hard to find opportunities to do damn near anything. I felt good. I felt fucking good that I like 4 or 5x'd my shit in the bear market.
But that did make me realize that like it was about the game was about to start though. Because I was like, we just gave away fees for buying keys to everyone on crypto Twitter. Like that was like the engine's about to start. You know what I mean?
I didn't I took my money out of that. I basically didn't buy That's anyone else's keys unless they were like $20. And I took my Ethereum out and I was like, holy shit, I made money. This is insane. And I like ran away.
I didn't buy anything either. I didn't buy anything with the money. I just cashed it out because I was stupid. But I should have. That's why everyone went.
I should have farmed the points. Yeah, I thought that everybody who farmed the points and held the keys and shit, I was like, I think they played this one wrong. But no, actually, I'm the retard. They're all going to get airdropped 6 million yachts.
Yeah. Listen, I'll take it. Listen, anything between $1 and $10, and I'm a very happy person. Even
honestly, dude, I unironically, like I've already made so much money from Frentech. I could give less of a fuck if we get an airdrop or not. I want Racer to like giga win. I think it would be I just like the guy. I want Racer to like absolutely giga send, make like $1 billion off of this, become some sort of CT like heralded hero of legend.
Those who know. Oh, we have to get off here actually. I just realized we have a meeting in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got 7 minutes.
When he gets older, he won't sound like this anymore, right?